a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Time. It is the first Thursday of the month, and we know on the first Thursday of the month, we're going to have chills, we're going to have thrills, we're going to have Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed, who is going to give us his savvy perspective of what's going on in the world of spiritual politics. Or actually, he brings the politics. I think I'm supposed to bring the spirit. I don't know. We'll figure that out. We always figure it out somewhere. So that is today on the Dr. Kevin Show, Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed at 95.3 WMNH, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. If you are not in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, you can tune in at mattconnerton.com or at ipmnation.com and listen to it live. And you can, I don't know, IM him, text him, call him, harass him for those 2 hours. But if you want to harass him in this hour, you call 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. Matthew, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, you know, we love having you when you can fit us in your busy, ever so busy schedule.
Yes, it is busy.
Yeah. So my first question for you is, what did you think of today's inauguration?
Oh, the inauguration of Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Well, I missed it. I didn't get to see any of it, but I hope it went well. We don't want any of the Q people upset because they get all insurrectionist if they're not happy with how things go.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I heard it was like kind of watching Fantasia without sound and without color and with an absence of Mickey Mouse, but with the pipe dreams of many rats involved. So I guess that's kind of close, right?
Sure. Yeah. Close enough. Yeah.
Well, we have a few more hours. It could still happen, right? It's not over.
That's true. No one said it had to take place at noon.
Yes. Well, hopefully we are on at noon of a new day where, there used to be a movie or a TV show? I think it was a movie called Pretty Little Lies. So I hope we're at a noon of a new day where we're not having any more ugly orange-headed lies that they'll say somehow to the side.
No, those aren't going away.
I know. Did you like the Nazi cross stage?
Oh, the rune. Yeah. Yesterday on the show, I was talking about, apparently, the CPAC organizers are now fighting with the company that designed the stage over who should take the blame for the stage looking like it does. And the CPAC organizers are mad at the hotel chain where they had CPAC for criticizing over the way the stage was. Boy, I'll tell you what, they're not even subtle about, the underlying message there. It's incredible.
No, they put out the message exactly as they want to put out the message, and then they go, oops, well, it wasn't us.
Yeah.
We wouldn't pay attention to something like that. Well, if you didn't pay attention to something like that, you shouldn't be running for office. If you're that inept, if you got that bad an idea of what the visual was, What are you doing playing the game? You knew exactly what you were doing. So anyways, you know, but what are the topics that you want to bring to the Dr. Kevin Show this week? Just pick any of them. You know, the news has quieted down in one way, but it's still pretty lively out there. There's still a fair amount of BS going on. So where would you like to put your first scoopful?
Well, I mean, you know, a big topic of discussion on my show and in my household is the vaccines. I mean, that was, you know, we got some great news this week that you know, the Biden administration announcing that by the end of May, there should be enough vaccine supply for every American who wants it to get it, which is great. Of course, the bad news is that these variants continue to pose a risk, and several states, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama was going to do this, but they're backtracking now. But, you know, states already lifting their mask mandates, which is terrible. You know, we're so close to the finish line with this pandemic, and yet there's still no shortage of people who want to make sure that we get in as much sickness and death as we possibly can before this thing wraps up, like Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, for example. And I use this analogy on my show when I talk about, you know, how close we are to finally being able to defeat COVID, but you know, we still have people who are in the way. It's like America is like a marathon runner, and you know, we've been running this you know, this runner who's been running this marathon really hard, and it's been a big challenge and a struggle, and the runner is almost finally to the finish line, about to finish the race. And then just as the runner gets to the finish line, about to cross it and win, the runner pulls out a gun and blows his own head off because he decides he'd rather do that than win the race. And that's kind of how I look at the United States. You know, we're so close to finally defeating this pandemic with these vaccines. And so what happens? You have Republican governors saying, we're going to get rid of all the restrictions now and just put everything back to normal and just allow the virus to run wild. It's so infuriating. I hate these people. The modern Republican Party is a death cult, and I try not to carry any hate around in me, but I hate these people.
Well, you know, because I, you know, can clean the energy out of everything and make it pure and light and lovely and spiritual, you are welcome to come and spew hate here anytime so you can get it out, as long as it's about, you know, the asinine Republican Party, the QAnon. There may be a couple of things where I draw a line, but sure, spew well. Don't worry about it. I'll give it the papal blessing and it will be all okay.
All right. As long as you're okay with my hate, I appreciate that.
it won't compromise your soul. If I was going to compromise your soul, Matt, I could think of much more interesting ways to do it. This doesn't count.
All right.
But I think, and I don't know if you were alluding this to what you said, but I think this thing with like Texas and a few of these Republican states is because they can't make it look like Biden picked up the fumbled ball and that the Democrats grabbed it and ran it all the way across the field and scored a touchdown, because it's not going to look well for them on 2022. They need the numbers to look worse again. This is a political strategy move, and they don't care that it's going to spike the numbers. They don't care that people are going to die because of it. They just want to make sure that they stay in power. And if the Biden administration gets everybody in line 2 months earlier than he said in May, and we're all vaccinated and it's actually started to come down to something very manageable, that's going to run right into the 2022 political season. And so This is a, we don't care who dies, we want to politically trip up the Democrats. That's what I think this is all about.
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. And I also think in the case of Texas, for example, I think there's also an element of, you know, they've had a very hard time with that storm, that weather that caused their power grid to have all this trouble and all the consequences of that. And I think Greg Abbott there is kind of looking for a way to redeem himself with the constituents and, you know, constituents who might be saying, you know, this energy policy that we've had is a failure. What are you going to do about it, Governor? And then the governor is using this as an opportunity to say, hey, don't get too mad at me. Remember, I'm anti-science and I don't mind if people die from COVID. So, you know, so you should still like me. and then they'll go, oh yeah, he's anti-science. Yeah, well, he's great. You know, because I mean, these aren't terribly bright people to begin with. So it's easy to distract them. So I think he's using it as an opportunity to distract from what happened with the power grid.
So here's a question, because Texas got as close to being purple as it's ever been since Ann Richards was governor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. This last election. And of course, you know, they're running around trying to make voting just as difficult as they can for minorities, for people of color, for anybody who would not support the Republican Party. You know, they're all running around trying to pass laws to make sure that they make it so difficult that these voices can't be heard, because if they are, they've lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
So if Texas suddenly shoots up because of this, because first of all, on top of everything else, they haven't even recovered from the power grid shortage. I mean,
yeah,
there are still areas that are struggling with water. There's all sorts of health risks and issues. There are all sorts of immune vulnerable people that are going to be, it's going to be easier. The new variants are growing. The list is growing on a regular basis. More and more of them are getting contaminated. So the question is, could this backfire? If suddenly between now and the 2022 election, what happens if Texas outpaces California and becomes the most deadliest state? Because Texas and Mississippi have, I think I read, had more percentage of deaths per COVID than they were, like the two of the top states in the country. Could this possibly backfire? I mean, are the Texans going to be that forgiving if he screwed up their grid, cost them, oh, some of those electric bills were scary.
Yeah.
So, you know, that, and the fact that when they did the evaluation, they've been overpaying for electricity ever since they did it. That's going to make them unhappy. But if they end up being a hotspot and those numbers all peak out again, could this backfire? What do you think?
Well, hard to predict. I mean, I think most Republicans are going, simply won't care if Texas becomes a new hotspot. So, you know, I think independents who tend to vote Republican might think twice about it. So, yeah, it could backfire. It could backfire.
There are incredible numbers of people leaving the Republican Party in the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going independent, which means that independent vote is going to be ever so much more important than it's ever been. So,
yeah. Well, you know, like I always say, that's where elections are won and lost. Democrats will usually vote for the Democrat, and Republicans will usually vote for the Republican. So, yeah, it's the independents where, you know, and last I looked, and this number may have grown, I'm not sure, but last I looked, 41% of the national electorate was, in independence, which is a big chunk, which, you know, the media never talks about that. But and for the Republican Party, as more and more independents decide that, or as more and more Republicans, I should say, decide they don't want anything to do with the party of Marjorie Taylor Greene and QAnon, the party will continue to shrink, but the party will also continue to become more and more that extremist pro-conspiracy theory party that it already is, which is which it's been on its way to becoming for years now. It's just really kind of hit an apex, I think, with QAnon. I saw a poll recently that showed that more than half of Republicans are at least sympathetic to QAnon. So I'm not surprised that there's some people who are like, yeah, we don't want to really be in Crazy Town anymore. We're going to leave this party. Can't blame them.
Well, maybe next time Cruz goes to Cancun, he should take Abbott with him so they can see if they can do some more serious strategy work, because they're such brilliant strategists as it is.
Yeah.
I hear that lovely sound that says we're coming up to our first break. We'll be right back on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on the Om Times. We are on the first Thursday of the month, which we do through the spiritual lens, which is probably a really inaccurate name of this show. I think that, the first Thursday of the month, I think that maybe we should change it to Dr. Kevin and Matt Shovel the Political Shit. I don't know if my producer would go for that name or not, but I'm finding that I'm not finding a lot of like spiritual feel-good stuff in today's politics. It's more like it felt warm and comfortable at some point, and then you realize that when it got cold, it was just you were in a diaper surrounded by turd. So I don't know. I'm sure my producer will get back to me if we can do Shoveling the Shit with Dr. Kevin and Matt the first Thursday of every month on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you allowed to work blue? I
don't know. I don't know. He'll tell me. Trust me, he tells me. I don't want to have any faults in advertising, because
I don't think there's been many spiritual conversations we've had about politics for a while. You know, probably starting when Lucifer took office, and even since he's left, but he's still on the sideline with his pitchfork. I think the spirituality left the episode, this particular episode. The rest of the Dr. Yeah. Kevin shows get into spirituality a lot. This one is kind of like a reality check.
Yeah.
Show. Filibuster. What do you think? It's for decades always been more favorable for the Republicans than the Democrats to be able to be, to have a filibuster used. They use it better. The Democrats, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, no matter how good it is, the Republican Party in unity is going to try to block it as much as possible, because right now it's just about, let's make the other party look bad. It has nothing to do with America. And mm-hmm. to some degree, the Democrats do the same thing, but I think the Republicans are the true masters of it. What are your thoughts? Is it time to get rid of it? Do you think we can? And what would it look like if we did?
I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, you should be able to have up and down votes in a democracy, right? I mean, yeah, I would get rid of it. I don't like it. I mean, simple as that.
What do you think? Is it going to happen? Do you think that the Democrats will actually grow a pair and just say, you know what? We ain't never taken as much advantage of this. It doesn't hurt us even if we're back in the minority, because we don't use it as well as the Republicans do. So let's get rid of it. Or do you think that they're going to waffle on it and let it go by the boards again?
The latter. I think they'll waffle on it and let it go by the boards again. Yeah, I don't think they'll. Democrats, in my opinion, is they tend not to be, they don't play as ruthlessly as the Republicans do. I don't think they ever have. So no, I think they'll capitulate and just leave it alone. That's what I think. I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about it, largely for that reason, because I don't think it's going anywhere. I'd be very surprised, to be honest.
The last time I heard anything about it in reference to Biden, Biden wasn't in favor of getting rid of it. But now that may have changed. I don't know. But the last thing I read, Biden still felt like he didn't think they should get rid of it. But then again, you know, it and him are both antiques, and maybe he just feels comfortable with what he knows.
That may be. You know, I mean, these people are institutionalists, you know, they might want to stick with what they think is comfortable.
I think that this country would be better off if about 95% of them were institutionalized, really.
Yes.
So how much have you, so before I pout you with more questions and put you on the spot, like I so love to do on this first Monday, Thursday of the month.
Uh-huh.
What else has been going on your show that's been a hot topic that you would like to kick around here with a neutral, low energy voice like mine?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we obviously, like I said, we talk about COVID a lot. We're still talking about Trump a lot. It's not what some of us necessarily thought would be the case at this point in 2021, but Trump is not going away. And in fact, continues to be a very interesting political story, because he's probably, if he can stay out of prison, and if he can stay healthy enough, he's probably going to be the Republican nominee in 2024. He's clearly not going anywhere. And there is something about that I kind of like. I think it's fun to think about the frustration that people must be feeling, people who would like to run again, like Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz, or people who would like to run for the first time, like Tom Cotton, you know, it's no secret he wants to run for president. Josh Hawley probably wants to run. So Trump has, by his presence, effectively frozen the field for the Republicans. Because, you know, usually in an election cycle, as soon as one presidential election is over, you see candidates begin to emerge for the next one. So in a normal election cycle, we should see, okay, a Republican president just lost. So now we should start to see Republicans lining up for 2024. And we're not seeing that because they can't, because Trump won't go away. And Trump, it appears, is never going away. And I think that's bad for the party, but it's kind of fun to just think about how frustrating it must be for them, because they all have to continue to kiss his ring, but you know they hate him. I mean, they have to act like they love him, but they must hate him because he's in the way. He is in their way. I mean, we've never seen, you know, when George H.W. Bush, you know, the last one-term Republican president that we had, when he lost the presidency in 1992 to Bill Clinton, they didn't have, I don't think CPAC existed yet, but they didn't have a big event. The Republicans didn't have a big event a few months later where George H.W. Bush showed up and was the keynote speaker, and they decided that George H.W. Bush was the future of the Republican Party. But that's what they're doing with Trump. He's not the past. He's the future, as far as they're concerned. He's the guy for 2024. It's incredible. We've never seen anything like this before. And the reasons are, of course, because it's a cult. The Republican, I mean, now more than ever, it is absolutely a cult. He is their messiah. You know, I've seen polling data that shows 85% of Republicans still believe Biden stole the election. And Trump still has a very high favorability rating in the Republican Party. And he's not going away. It is his party. And it's but it's just fascinating to see. It's such a unique dynamic. You know, when Jimmy Carter lost the presidency in 1980, Democrats didn't say, well, we got to rally around Jimmy Carter and get him to run again in 84. And you know, because he's the future of the party still. You know, this is, I mean, you've got a Republican who lost the presidency and, you know, his party managed to lose it all. You know, they don't control the House or the Senate. But no, they're sticking with him. I mean, they had a big gold statue of him at CPAC. I mean, that, it really is a cult. But it's fascinating to me. It's fascinating to see how willing they are to continue to be imprisoned by this man, because, you know, they all want to just put him in the rearview mirror, but they can't. It's incredible. Not that I feel any sympathy for them. I don't. I think it's funny, and I think it's fun to watch, and I hope they continue to self-destruct. But that's been a big topic on my show. That's been really interesting to me, and will continue to be interesting because Trump's clearly not going anywhere.
So, you do know what that statue is made up of, right?
Well, I thought it was gold, but there might be something else.
Actually, it was made up of pyrite. Do you know what pyrite is?
No.
Yeah. It's commonly called fool's gold. Because
oh.
He got more gold out of all those fools.
Yes.
But it looks shiny.
It does.
Well,
it turns out you actually can polish a turd.
Yeah, really. So part of what I was reading was he did something that he shook down a lot of small donation Republican donors at CPAC much to the frustration of the bigger GOP, who count on that money to run Senate races, which keeps him in control of those dollars. And there's definitely a thought process out there that he's not going to be using that money to go after Democrats. He's going to go after the Republicans that are vulnerable, that wouldn't go along with him.
Oh, yeah.
To replace him with his own people.
He recited the list, his enemies' list. He said all of their names during his speech. Liz Cheney and all the rest.
Yeah. Well, you know, with the intra-party fighting and the bloodbath, we could watch the Democrats end up with more control in the House and the Senate with what's going on, because Biden's favorables are higher than Trump's ever were right now.
Yeah, 60%, I think, is the last poll that I saw as far as Biden's favorability. Well, you know, I mean, it is wonderful. You know, I mean, I'm an independent, and I have a lot of problems with both parties. But it is nice to have an administration in place that actually believes in science and is interested in taking the very aggressive steps necessary to defeat this pandemic. And I think there's a lot of obviously some Republicans voted for Biden, for that reason. And, you know, it's no wonder he has a high favorability rating. I mean, he's, you know, so far, so, I mean, for him to be able to come out and say that by the end of May, every adult in the country should be able to get a vaccine, you know, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yep. And, well, you know, I've got the new tagline for the Republican Party. You know how it's always tried to portray itself as the party of law and order?
Yes.
Well, now it's the party of lawlessness and chaos.
Yes.
What do you think? I think I could sell them on that tagline. Maybe I can shake a few shekels out of them. Let me trademark this, boys, and then you can buy it and use it in all your conventions. You know, it's called Truth in Advertising.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the Voting Rights Act.
Mm-hmm.
How much have you looked into it? It's passed the House, but unless we get a stronger majority in the 2022 elections in the Senate, it will not pass the Senate, most likely, unless they get rid of the filibuster. Is that how you're reading it? Is this going to be another, hey, look, we're trying to put all the right stuff in place so that things are actually fairer to the American people, but those bad people on the other side of the aisle won't let us do it. What do you think? Is this a sincere attempt? Do you think that this is just another, see, we tried attempt? Because neither party wants to lose what the grip is they have. And there are things in that Voting Rights Act that would shake the power base control that both parties have. So what are your thoughts? Have you looked into it? And does the snowball in hell have any chance of survival through the Senate?
Probably not. And I think you're right. It's another see we tried kind of thing, you know. I mean, you know, and Republic, you're right. I mean, unless you get rid of the filibuster, you know, how can it go anywhere? Republicans are actively trying to make it, they're always trying to actively make it harder to vote. It's to their advantage to make it harder to vote than easier to vote. I mean, you know, the only way they can, typically the only way they're able to win the White House, for example, is because of the Electoral College, because they have a tendency to lose the popular vote. So, I haven't been, that's not one of the, I wouldn't say one of the top five stories that I've been following, but that's only partly because, like you said, I agree with you. It's probably going to be another see we tried kind of thing. And I don't think it's going anywhere, unfortunately.
So what are the other top stories that you've been following on Matt Connerton Unleashed?
You know, something we've been talking about a lot recently is Andrew Cuomo, Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York. That's been an interesting story to follow because what a difference a year makes. I mean, this guy a year ago was riding high. You know, people were very impressed with his daily coronavirus briefings and contrasting his style with Trump. And really, I remember at one point, I mean, it was hard to take it seriously, but there was speculation about the Democrats doing a swap out at the convention where they would swap out Biden for Cuomo to be the nominee. And, you know, and look at him now. I mean, he's barely holding on. I mean, he did that press briefing where he said, you know, he's not going to resign, where he apologized and all this. But there's mounting pressure on him to resign. And, you know, and the thing about the nursing home deaths and not the first time, too. I mean, not the cleanest politician, Governor Andrew Cuomo, to begin with. I remember when Cynthia Nixon, the actress, ran against him in the primary and during a debate told him multiple times right to his face that he was corrupt, which he didn't really have an answer for. So that's been an interesting story. And also, too, the way it's affecting Chris Cuomo at CNN, because I'm fascinated by all things media. And Chris Cuomo is not covering the story on his show. And he explained it. He's not covering the story because Andrew Cuomo is his brother, which is fine. From my perspective, that's perfectly acceptable. I would not expect Chris Cuomo to cover that story because you can't expect Chris Cuomo to be objective about his brother. But, you know, back a year ago, less than a year ago, when they were doing those segments where Chris Cuomo would bring his brother on and they would kind of, you know, bust each other's balls and, you know, that sibling rivalry kind of playful thing, which people seem to really enjoy. But some people said, you know, is this really appropriate? Because CNN apparently had in place a rule up to that point that Chris Cuomo could not have Andrew Cuomo on because it just wouldn't make sense because they're brothers. So in terms of journalism, you don't do that. And then they made an exception because of the feeling that with COVID, it was an extenuating circumstance. So you kind of bend the rules a little bit. And some people at the time said, well, you know, this could backfire. And now it is backfiring. And now Chris Cuomo's journalistic integrity has been damaged because of all those segments he did, those fun freewheeling segments that he did with his brother. But now when things have gone bad, you know, Chris Cuomo suddenly can't cover the story. So that's been a big topic on the show.
And we'll be back in a moment for the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed, 95.3 WMNH. And you can listen to him 4 to 6 Monday through Friday at mattconnerton.com.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside
each other's mind. Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. This is the first Thursday of the month. I have Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. He gives us a independence view of what's going on politically. This is Matt's wheelhouse, and it's very important to be part of the world and to understand what's going on and get some perspectives that are not going to be quite so limited in rah-rah language. And if there's anybody who's willing to look at both sides, that's our Matt. Matt, welcome back.
Thank you.
So my question for you now is, there's been some pretty damning stuff that's been coming out of the House investigation about the Capitol riots, a 3-hour and I believe 21 minute delay in the National Guard showing up, that the have to get permission from the Secretary of Defense was not put in place until January 5th. If that new order had not come down on January 5th, they would have been there, I think, in like 20 minutes when things started to break out, which would have made it a very different event. Obviously, somebody in power made sure that this thing got to get legs before it got interfered with. Who do you think was involved? Do you think we'll actually ever know? And is anybody of any note going to go to jail, or are they just going to keep on picking up and putting in jail the poor suckers who believe the our liar in chief at the time?
Well, I hope we find out exactly whose fault this is, and I certainly think this was deliberate, and I think that there should be a 9/11 commission. I should say a 9/11 style commission that investigates this even further than these hearings to really get to the bottom of who was involved and, you know, was there some sort of a directive from the president himself or a suggestion or some sort of communication that would convey what he wanted to happen or not happen, but still allow him to have some plausible deniability. I certainly don't believe that, you know, there was just, kind of a breakdown in communication. I mean, there clearly was a breakdown in communication, but I don't think it was, it just kind of happened. I think that, you know, I mean, it's astonishing to think that, you know, somebody's watching all this play out on cable news. The person, I can't remember all the names involved, but, you know, the person who would be responsible for actually mobilizing the National Guard. And, you know, and he's watching this play out on the news and he can't do anything until he's told to do it. You know, it's, I think this was deliberate. And, you know, I mean, obviously, I mean, look, you know, Trump tweeting out how disappointed he was in Mike Pence as this is happening, as they're hunting for Mike Pence, chanting, hang Mike Pence. You know, Trump waiting until well into this crisis to release that video where he says, you know, we love you and I understand, you know, you have to go home now, but, you know, but he's expressing solidarity with the rioters. You know, I think that Trump either maybe not explicitly, but implicitly let it be known probably that, you know, that he didn't want these people interfered with if things got out of hand. I think he wanted things to get out of hand. You know, I certainly want to know, as many of us do, whose fault is this exactly? And we might find out more through these hearings, but I think what we really need, and of course the Republicans desperately don't want this, but I think what we really need is a 9/11 style commission that further investigates what happened on January 6th. And, you know, people who don't think there's anyone to blame, well, they can say that all they want to, but even if there's not someone to blame, we still need to get to the bottom of exactly what happened to make sure that it never happens again. I mean, you know, look at today. They called off doing anything today because they were worried about March 4th, because all these QAnon freaks who think that today, March 4th, Trump was supposed to be sworn in as president. And obviously that isn't happening. So then there was worry, well, are they going to storm the Capitol again? You know, it's you know, if nothing else, we need to get to the bottom of this. Regardless, I know Ron Johnson thinks it was all not a big deal or whatever, or that it was actually Antifa. But we need to get to the bottom of it to make sure that it never happens again, at the very least. But I want to see everyone held accountable for what happened and what did not happen that should have happened, clearly.
Yeah, the evidence is more and more damning. Mm-hmm. The Republican Party has made itself very clear that it will not hold its own accountable, that it's going to ignore any kind of facts, and that ship has come and gone. But, you know, hopefully, either the state of New York or the state of Georgia or somebody is going to get Trump in prison. Because I don't know that he could get elected again. I don't think that his numbers have grown because of his action. It solidified his base. But I don't think the horrors of what he did. And, you know, one thing I like about your idea of a 9/11 commission is it will keep it in the news through the 2022 elections, and could even keep it in the news into the 2024 elections, because those committees don't act fast.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
So establishing a commission to really find and hold accountable everybody that contributed to this. Now, they pulled the videos of... Now, I saw something about that... The people leading the most violent part of this actually had maps to the Capitol tunnel, and they pulled the videos of who was giving tours the day before, but I never heard anything more about it. Have you heard anything about them discovering who got the maps to these people and who was there the day before giving and getting tours?
Same here. I'm not sure either. I heard as much of that as you did. And I also don't know anything more about that. It would be very interesting to know that. And I hope we find that out.
Okay. So let's switch. Do you think Elaine Chao is going to hold any accountability for all of the money that she spent on that government spent on employees doing her family's business? What's up with that? Important, unimportant? Do you think that there should be effort to hold her accountable, or is it just a waste of time?
Oh, I'm all about accountability always. No, I think she'll skate on all of that, but I would prefer to see her held accountable. I wonder if she knew that she was going to get, you know, because she resigned early, and she resigned supposedly because of, you know, Trump's inciting what happened on January 6th, which makes sense in a way because she is, of course, married to Mitch McConnell, who also blames Trump for what happened on January 6th, even though he voted to acquit. But I see now I'm actually questioning was that really the motivation for her resigning, or was she trying to dodge something else that she knew was headed her way, and she thought maybe she just would get out of town a little early? So I don't know. I hope there's accountability. I always hope there is, but you know, she's not the most powerful person in Washington, but her husband is pretty damn close to being, you know, top five at least. So
you mean flip flop Mitch?
What's that?
Flop Mitch? You mean
Mitch? Well, I prefer cocaine Mitch. What? Oh, I said I prefer cocaine Mitch, the name that Don Blankenship gave him.
Yeah. Well, flip-flop Mitch, who has said that he would now support Trump being the presidential candidate again. So, before we run out of time, any thoughts on that? And I have to tell you this, I can just see the endless replay over and over again of Mitch lambasting Trump and saying that he was legally and morally responsible, but you know, for what he did. If Mitch doesn't think that's going to come back and bite him in 2022 and in 2024, he's crazy. But you know, he's there for 6 years, so he's living into the next presidency unless somebody kills him first or he dies.
Yeah, he may not care. I think he's 80 years old or close to 80. So this may very well be his last term anyway. So I suspect he just doesn't care about that. I think he's looking at the short term. He wants Trump's help in the Republicans maintaining power. I can't remember now if Mitch McConnell's name was one of the names that Trump recited during his CPAC speech when he was listing off his, reciting his enemies list. I can't remember if Mitch was in there or not. But I think Mitch is thinking more short term, because long term, I think Mitch is probably, like I said, this may be his last ride.
So, do you think we could see the emergence in 2024 of a third actual candidate running for president if Trump gets the Republican, what's left of the Republican Party nomination? Do you think we might actually make it this time?
No, I doubt it. I think, yes, Republicans have decided they don't want to be a part of the party of Trump and Marjorie Taylor Greene and QAnon. And there has been an exodus, but he's still within the Republican Party. He's still the most popular. I mean, he's a messiah to these people. I don't think enough of them will have left or will leave to form another party. Plus it would just, you know, if the Republican Party kind of splits in two and then you've got this third party, that just cans any future election to the Democrats. So I don't think we'll see it. I would love to see it, but I honestly don't think that we will.
Lincoln Project. Is that, you think that's going to continue to be a player, and is it really influencing? Do you think it's behind part of the exodus from the Republican Party as well, or is it yesterday's news?
I think it's turning out to be yesterday's news. I originally thought that the Lincoln Project was only going to last through the election, and they were, you know, going to help to defeat Trump and then just kind of fade away. And then it turned out, no, they have all these long-term plans, because members of the Lincoln Project were finding some success with this, and it was turning out to be a pretty good moneymaker potentially. But now the scandals that they've had and the people who've resigned, it seems to be imploding. So I think it's I think it's actually yesterday's news. I wouldn't have said that a month ago, but now I think it is yesterday's news.
So next week, Lori Powers Auto, Thoughtful Thursday here on the Dr. Kevin Show. Matt, thanks as always.
Thank you, Dr. Kevin. Always a pleasure. Thanks, everybody.